This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison with Noah Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning. In half an hour, we've got The Breakfast Grill. And Noah, today you'll be having that conversation.
Yes, so we are Sven Schneider, CEO of EU Malaysia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or EUMCCI. Really, the elephant in the room is the stalled free trade agreement talks between the EU and Malaysia due to requirements for Malaysia to remove Bumiputera protection. Obviously, Malaysia does not want to do that, or rather, the Malaysian government doesn't want to do that. But meanwhile, countries like Vietnam have already ratified agreements with the EU. And in the long term, this is not good for Malaysia because, you know, European investors will just skip Malaysia, right? If they can just trade Vietnam with trade dollars, you will also get FDI. Dollars. So, you know, these are long-term issues with that will affect Malaysia negatively. So these are things we're going to discuss with him.
And that's with Sven Schneider, CEO of the EU Malaysia Chamber of Commerce, or the EUMCCI. That's in half an hour. But right now, speaking of other international issues, we're talking about relations between China and India. They've always been fraught with complications, but now they've reached new lows last week following a military brawl between the two sides at a section of the contested border in Galwan Valley.
Well, the issue is, and this is something which hasn't just popped up over the weekend. India and China have been at loggerheads over this border which they share with each other. It's 3,500 kilometers long. It's never been properly demarcated. And actually, India has always had a history of altercations between itself and its smaller neighbors like Nepal, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, and the Maldives. The only thing is, you can pick a fight with the smaller countries, but you don't really pick a fight with China, which is bigger than you and ostensibly more powerful and richer than you.
So speaking of this latest clash, it was the bloodiest border clash between India and China in 40 years, killing 20 Indian soldiers and an undetermined number of casualties on the Chinese side. Prior to this, Prime Minister Narendra Modi and President Xi Jinping were focused on strengthening economic ties between the two countries. But following this escalation along the border, could we now see India pivot away from China? For more insights here on how this could play out, we have Michael Kugelman, Deputy Director of the Asia Program of the Wilson Center, with us on the line. Michael, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. Good to be here with you.
Yes, good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, has there been any more clarity on what actually happened in the Galwan Valley last week? How do the narratives differ from both sides?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, each side claims a very different story. You know, over the last 24 to 48 hours, a bit more clarity has come into the situation. It appears that there had been a dialogue that began between the Indian and Chinese commanders earlier this month, a dialogue that was meant to de-escalate the crisis. But then you had a case of a few tents that Chinese soldiers had pitched on what India believes to be its side of the disputed border. And when Indian soldiers had asked Chinese why they were not withdrawing from that area, taking down the tents, there then began an altercation that escalated to something extremely violent, which, you know, as you mentioned earlier, is highly unusual. It's the first time in 45 years that there have been combat deaths along the this disputed border between India and China. And it appears that there may have been multiple brawls between soldiers on both sides. There were no guns fired, no heavy weaponry, but it was just heavy fighting. You had a number of soldiers that actually fell down into the Galwan River below, and some of them died from hypothermia. It was just a terribly violent brawl. And of course, you know, we're now at a point where a crisis that was meant to be de-escalating is suddenly now once again very tense. Though I guess the good news is that the two sides have remained committed to talk, and there have continued to be talks even after this very violent clash.
Well, India and China had been working towards greater economic collaboration. So what are the economic implications of this recent clash?
Well, that's a good point. Indeed, it's been notable that over the years, even though you've had this ongoing and unresolved border dispute and the security tensions that come with it, the two sides had managed to maintain what is one of the largest bilateral trade relationships by volume in the world. And I think that at this point, there's going to be a lot of pressure, particularly on the Indian side, to try to reduce, if not cut off, these longstanding commercial ties. And already there's an indication that India could try to cancel the 5G trials that India had awarded to Huawei, the Chinese telecom company. So it could be that India could try to reduce Chinese investment in the Indian telecom sector, which is troubling because India's telecom sector is not in good shape. You know, there's been a lot of populist nationalist rhetoric in recent days in India about boycotting Chinese goods. The reality of it is, though, that it's unclear if that would have any type of major impact on China, because China has a much larger, robust economy than India. So I think that if India were to try to punish China economically, I'm not sure if it would have the intent that India would want it to have.
Yeah, Michael, some also say that the recent disputes has also arisen because of India's fortification in the Ladakh region, in which India wants to build an airbase. And under any kind of like US-India defense agreement, both countries have a right to use each other's airbases, which would not be obviously optimal to China, which is, has this ongoing dispute with the Americas. To what extent do you think this development plays into the global narrative in terms of US and China maybe escalating towards something much more than a trade war?
Yeah, well, indeed, you've got this very volatile US-India-China triangle right now that I think has been quite a significant component in this dispute. And I think it certainly is true that there are many motivations for why China staged the provocations that it did over the last few weeks in Ladakh. But I certainly think that one of them is its recognition that its relationship with the U.S. is simply a mess right now, is radioactive, whereas the U.S. relationship with India has intensified. And I think that one of the messages that China wanted to send was really to audiences in New Delhi and Washington, essentially a message of toughness and defiance and so on. And I do think that the U.S.-India relationship stands to strengthen. It stands to get even stronger because of this dispute. And that's just because, you know, the U.S. has always looked, or not always, in recent years, the U.S. has looked at India as a key partner to enlist in what is one of the major, one of the top U.S. Foreign policy goals, and that is to try to balance out China's rise with increasing strength and clout in the broader Indo-Pacific region. And the way that the U.S. government now classifies and categorizes the Indo-Pacific region does include the broader South Asia region, including Ladakh, where this recent crisis is. And so I think that, you know, and China knows this, of course, and China's not going to back down in its provocations, but you know, I do think that the U.S.-India relationship will strengthen. One of the big questions is, will India be willing to align with the United States formally in a way that the two could work more closely together to push back against China? The India had long remained hesitant, even though under the current government in India, India has moved closer to the United States than it ever has been before. But there's still that hesitation to align itself with the U.S. and to be willing to partner with it operationally. But, you know, you have such a watershed moment right now that the calculus could change. And India may be willing to align itself with the United States. If there ever was a time where that could happen, I think it's now.
India has won a seat at the UN Security Council for the tenure of 2022, putting it in the same table with the US and China. Are we going to see India bring its grievances and a spillover of these tensions in the council chamber? How could that play out?
Well, I'm sure it will. And as you know, the UN Security Council is typically a place where China holds sway because, unlike India, it's a permanent member of the UN Security Council. And the seat that India has now, it's a non-permanent seat, so it's not going to have that forever. So I do think that India will try to take full advantage of its post there to try to push its story, so to speak, its side of the dispute with China. And it's going to try to try to focus the attention of other members of the Security Council, both permanent and non-permanent, to its side. But you know, I think for India, its biggest quest, which is a lot more ambitious than the seat it's gotten as a non-permanent seat, is it wants full membership. It wants permanent membership on the UN Security Council, and that would be very difficult to do, just because China would be able to wield a veto and not let that happen. But indeed, I do think that India will try to take full advantage of even this temporary opportunity to be there in the UN Security Council. But indeed, that could also accentuate the rivalry between India and China. If they're both in this place together, I think that could make their fragile relationship all the more fraught.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Michael Kugelman, Deputy Director of the Asia Program at the Wilson Center, really just laying the showing us the lay of the land between this U.S., this, sorry, we're so used to saying U.S.-China at this point, India-China tensions and how the U.S. fits into there. And I think the most important thing to note about the U.N. Security Council there is that, one, China is a permanent member, and two, it has a veto.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize the significance of this ongoing dispute in that part of the world, because one has to recall that India, and under its greater India expansionist policy, has always, obviously occupied some of its neighboring sovereign states like Sikkim, Nagaland, Jammu, Kashmir, Hyderabad, Junga, etc. And India and the Americans are very good friends, right? And that friendship has not set well with China, especially when it comes to disputed regions like Ladakh and, of course, Tibet. And Tibet, a lot of people don't realize, is basically the water supply for a lot of the countries in that part of the world because of the Tibetan Plateau, right? And it supplies all the water there.
Electricity
as well. And then when you consider the fact that that part of the world, with Pakistan, Bangladesh, China, India, comprising more than half the world's population, any escalation in conflagration between those countries could lead to basically disastrous consequences for the rest of the world. So we've got to keep our eyes, ironclad on this part of the world for the time being.
Right. On that note, we're going into a few messages right now. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at private higher education in Malaysia with Dr. Jeffrey Williams, professor at the ELM Graduate School at Help University. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.